Some Christians spend their life thinking God is random and wondering if he will ever show up in their life. But is that really the kind of faith we have come to in Jesus?
Let's see what the Bible says about that. Hey, welcome to the podcast. I am glad you are here. If you are joining us on YouTube, you can go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can like this video. And I would love to see any comments of your thoughts on what we talk about here today in the comment section. So it'll be a good podcast for us today.
Yeah, it is. So today we're going to talk about a theological subject, but this is not intended to be a theological expose necessarily. So the goal here today is to address a very real issue of life that obviously has theological meaning to it. It's a question. And the question is this: does God just randomly show up in life?
Yeah.
Or is there a part that we play actually in God answering, responding, moving to, or even just fulfilling his purposes?
Yeah.
Does man play a part in that?
Yeah.
Or is it simply all him?
Yeah. And I think, I mean, it's a big question.
It's a baited question, kind of.
Exactly. And the answer that you have to this, it really does impact your life. And your relationship with God. I think the number one thing it impacts is how you pray. Your belief on, does God just act randomly as he wants, whenever he pleases, regardless of humans? The number one thing that impacts in our life is how we pray.
Yeah.
Because if it's just, hey, however, whenever he wants, then it's like, well, why should I even pray about anything?
Yeah. You might pray, but it might change what you would pray about
exactly,
in that situation.
Yeah. Your prayers get very limited, and it definitely would then also impact the way you view the events in your life, the tragedies and the successes, you know, and all the things in between. But if you just believed God only works randomly, just whenever he wants, however he wants, I have nothing to do with it, that would change the way you view the events in your life, good or bad.
Sure.
And again, the role of faith in your in connection with your life, there would be a disconnect in a lot of areas. It would be a lot of segmented areas if you just believed God just does whatever he wants, however he wants. The way you view the church changes, and the way you view your future really changes as well. If it's just everything's just all up in the air, right? And it's there's no rhyme or reason to God. It's all just random.
Yeah.
And there are people who believe different sides to this issue. There are some people who, again, just say that God will do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. God shows up sovereignly by his choosing. We have no role in it. There's that view.
Right.
There's also the view that says God doesn't show up in ways that are miraculous or powerful today. God just doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, he just,
it's not that he's not sovereign, he just doesn't do that.
Yeah, he just doesn't, it's just, he doesn't show up in any tangible way.
Yeah.
He's more, it's just a religious deal to kind of view, you know?
Right.
And don't really be expecting anything, you know, incredible.
Yeah.
It's just, is what it is. And then you have the idea that God only shows up if you're walking in perfect righteousness and perfect obedience, if you're only doing all the right things, then maybe God will show up in your life. So with those three, you have just a lot of different ways that would determine the outcome and the way in which you live your life, the way in which you view your faith, right?
Exactly. I think there's one more that fits with that. And it's this idea that some would even believe that maybe God randomly shows up and I have no clue why.
He just
does his thing.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know when. I don't know how.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of out. So within all of those views is where someone, or where most people land somewhere in all of that. So we're going to look at some passages today and figure out the answer to the question, does God just randomly show up in life? Has he sovereign control everything? And there's no part that we play? Or is there actually a part that we play in the process? So I think the first one we begin with is this truth from Scripture that God is sovereign over all eternity and controls the events of life. He does. Now, that's not going to be the only answer today, but that is one answer. Scripture tells us this, that in Psalm 115:3, it says, our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. And that is true.
Yeah.
There is that truth that we must use as we look at this question today that says God is, he was God before there was an earth and there was man, and he will always be God, always has been, always will be. And he reigns supremely over the affairs of man. There is nothing outside of his control. Proverbs 19:21 says, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. So God is faithful. God is sovereign. He is king. He is creator. And he does rule over the affairs of man. So we have to start there at least with that truth.
That is the baseline. He is sovereign. He chooses what will happen.
Right.
And that should shape the way in which we view our our life. And
that's
our
right. A second truth at the same time that we must know and walk a hand in hand with this is that the plans of God are not random, and that he is actually in his sovereignty, his power, arranging and working all things together toward a very specific end. He is the creator and the king and the controller of all things. We know from the very well-known verse around the church and around Christians is Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes.
Yeah.
So to those who love him, to those he is intimately at work in their life, he is arranging those things toward a greater good. In fact, he is arranging all things for a greater good.
Yeah.
Ephesians 1:11 talks about him working all things according to the counsel of his will. So he has a will and he has a purpose. His plans are not random. They are by his control, but they're also by his design. And they're working toward a good end.
Definitely. And we might not understand what all those plans are. And you look back in your life and you're like, that's random. That's out of place.
Yes.
That makes no sense why these things are there. But just because they seem that way, they look that way to us, does not mean, oh, well, therefore God is just random and he doesn't really have a way in which he works, right?
Yeah.
That's not what these passages say. He is working all things toward an end and according to his will.
Yeah. Because to the person who's lost, they would think that God is absent or cruel even.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that same person who gets saved and walks with the Lord all of a sudden looks back and says, oh, I get it now. I see where he was the one who was carrying me. I see that he was the one who sent his son to die for me while I was still an enemy.
Yeah.
You know, they begin to make sense of, they have wisdom to see, wait a minute, it's not that he was absent. It's not that he was cruel. He was actually good the whole time. So some of this comes down to a matter of your faith perspective, kind of giving away where we're headed here. But
yeah.
But all of this begs a question then. Are we simply pawns in the story? If he controls all things and he actually has a design and intent, are we simply just pawns on the board that are being moved around and we don't really have a say in it? Or does he make choices for men and women regardless of whether they want to or not?
Yeah.
And is there a role that we actually play in all of that? Those are good questions.
Yeah.
Those are worth asking and they're worth being answered, because if we're simply just pawns with a part to play, then really I'm just a spectator over life.
Yeah.
I'm just a spectator in this whole thing, even called faith. I'm just here. Really the best I can do is pray for patience in the matter. Because it's going to happen. What's going to happen.
Regardless.
I don't have a choice. So best I can hope is, you know, God, give me a good attitude, you know, for the wild things that are happening.
For whatever you might have planned.
Whatever it is, And I know people that's kind of their perspective to faith. If we really are just pawns, then you struggle with finding some sense of confidence and expectation that, okay, I know where God is headed. I know what he's doing, and he's calling me to a responsible part here. I think some of that gets dropped off the table, and you end up with really, faith is just a matter of, we'll just see what happens. You know, and that's a struggle. If that really is all there is to it, I get why people would check out and say, I'll leave that on Sunday then. That has no part in my Monday.
Exactly, because that, we'll just see what happens. There's zero confidence in that. There's
correct.
Zero purpose and passion, and this is where we're
expectation,
going. This is what's
joy.
Happening. But you have the well-meaning people who just cap off any prayer with, if it's your will, you know, yeah, which basically is like, I think, in practicality, a cop-out of, I don't really want to ask you to do something because you might not.
Ooh.
And then the end. And, you know, I'm just going there. Because there is the, God, he's not going to change. And he's not, he kind of doesn't really care what I have to say.
Yeah.
I know I'm his creation and I've been made in his image. And I know I'm
redeemed.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I know he made me and said, this is good.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And he desires to have a relationship with me.
Yeah.
But I'm going to just discount all my prayers and say, eh.
Yeah.
You can do, God, please do this. Well, only if it's your will.
Yeah.
But.
And I've been through some times like that in my life. It was almost like this fear of like, well, I'm afraid if I say it, what if it doesn't happen?
What if it doesn't happen?
Yeah.
And then, well, now what? I'm opposing the will of God here all
right,
of a sudden.
Or I'm going to look foolish, or I'm going to get myself, my expectations are going to be dashed, and I'm going to be depressed. Mm-hmm. And so,
but to me, I would rather have the faith that would believe and ask for God to do something miraculous than to stay leaving things on the table, leaving my requests, because God doesn't
with want uncertainty, that. With a lack of peace, with a lack of confidence.
You have to, I can't remember if we deal with this verse, but you have the verse that says, you know, you have not because you ask not.
Yeah,
and you ask, it says like the one who asks without doubting, right? And there's this sense of like, there's a confident request where you are continually ask, seek, knock with persistence. Like I'm reading a book by E.M. Bounds, Treasury of Prayer and all this kind of stuff. But it's just continually the author is saying like nothing happens outside of prayer.
Mm.
Everything happens because of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it just makes you start to ask a lot more questions of like, wow, what am I praying for then?
Yep.
And why would I not then pray for everything, about everything, and toward God's will, yes, being done, but it not being so much in like each and every decision that's made, you know, of like, which restaurant am I supposed to go to? Well, we better see what God's will is about this, you know, but more of, God, who are you shaping me to be and craft me into your image? And wherever I go, let me be a Christ bearer, you know, to these people.
Right.
And so anyways, that's my thoughts on all that.
That's good. Yeah. So again, we're trying to answer a big question here, but I think there's, as we've pointed out so far, there's two big truths. God is sovereign. He does control all things. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, in his sovereignty, his plans are good. Mm-hmm. They are meant to be good for those that love him. The third piece that God has designed, and this I kind of picture is like a triangle. All three sides are equal in this thing. Yeah. You have to have all three or this can't stand. This one truth can't stand, but here it is. God has chosen his sovereignty to move in people in response to their prayer and their faith.
Yeah.
Now, I know, you know, it's one of those moments like, well, wait a minute, which one is it then? Does he do it all himself, or does it man have control over the whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
You cannot ever look at Scripture and just say, here's this singular verse has a singular truth.
Yeah.
You have to look at the complexity and the entirety, the whole of Scripture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you often find what appear to be maybe even opposing truths that are actually true at the same time. You say, well, that hurts my head and that breaks my brain to think that.
Welcome.
Well, good.
Welcome.
That's great.
Yeah.
God's ways are higher than your ways.
Yeah.
His thoughts are not our thoughts.
Yeah.
And he can put together his sovereignty and our prayer and our faith at the same time.
Yeah. In a mysterious way. Even.
Exactly.
You know, I've heard it said, well, God is not an either or God, but he is a both and God. You know, it's like, how can he be sovereign and at the same time my faith? It's like, exactly. Welcome to this mysterious God that has chosen to operate in this way.
Yeah. Is it his will alone?
Hmm. Yes.
Yes. Does it involve my will? Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Both of those things are true at the same time?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here's some other scriptures that help us know this. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. So here's yeah. God looking for people who have a heart that is faithful to him and will believe him. And there he runs to that. He goes to that mm-hmm. and he works there. So he is involving the hearts and prayer and faith of people. Yeah. Matthew 18:20, Jesus himself says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." He's choosing to place himself in a location because of the faith and faithfulness of the people.
Yeah.
And then Hebrews 11:6, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Here is God putting himself in the place of saying, I am a responder to those who have faith, who believe me confidently, expectantly, assuredly believe my promises are true. I reward them. So he's by his own word, is saying, I will show up in tangible ways in places where people believe me and trust me. We know this because the scripture just affirms this over and over again. We see this in the story of Abraham from the Old Testament, but we see it in the commentary of Abraham in the New Testament. Kind of a side note here, I've just been thinking about today. You know, if you read the story of Abraham in the Old Testament, God makes him this promise, and Abraham doubts initially and says, you know, I'm going to go about this a different way.
Yeah.
And then he does, and it causes heartache and loss and problems and pain. He finally trusts God. But when you get to the New Testament and the book of Romans, it writes a commentary about Abraham's life. It doesn't say anything about the moments that he doubted.
Yeah.
It That's only crazy. Affirms the fact that he believed God. We're about to read that passage.
It's incredible.
I just love that fact, though, because I know in all of our lives, there's things that we think, man, back in 2017, I blew this. Yeah. And back in 2012, I did this. So and good. 2022, I did this thing.
Yeah. And I knew all along that this is what God had promised me, you know, and I messed up all these ways.
Yeah. But the commentary of heaven is he believed God.
Yeah.
And it was accounted to him for righteousness.
So good.
Here's so what happens for Abram. In Romans 4, it tells us that contrary to hope, in hope he believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. Here was the promise. So shall your descendants be. He believed a promise from God, a very specific promise. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So she had not had any children, could not have any children. He's 100 years old. God says, you're going to be the father of nations. And he says, you're crazy. There's no way. But here's what the commentary of the New Testament says about him. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. So there's clearly a story of God moving in a situation miraculously because Abraham chose to believe the promise.
Yeah.
So God has gone on record then for us in Scripture of showing up in places where there is real expectant and confident faith.
So
not just generalized faith, not just, I believe in God. Well, again, welcome to the demon and devil club.
Yeah,
they all believe in God too. Not just general prayer, not just attending church, but God is looking for those who will hear a promise, grab a hold of it, and believe he said it, and he will bring it to pass, and I'm going to hold to it confidently.
So good. Now,
we know the opposite of this story is true as well, that there were times that God did not move, and the Bible says there's a reason behind it. Like in the Gospels, there's a story of how Jesus could have gone to Nazareth, his own hometown, but he does not go there and do any miracles. And Matthew 13 tells us in verse 58, he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief.
Yeah.
He attaches it to their belief. He, he could have said, because he didn't want to.
Yeah.
And because it's not, he had already chosen in time past to never do that. There.
Exactly. Yeah.
No. He had. Yes, he had. So good. But at the same time, it was because of their unbelief. So my programming now, when I look at scripture and I think about what, how God moves, if I see God working in a place, I know, well, it's because someone prayed.
Someone has faith.
And someone has faith in that situation. Yeah, there's somebody, somebody in a family group. Someone says, hey, my nephew got saved.
Okay. Someone's praying.
Someone in that family was praying. Someone had faith in that family. Mm-hmm. Man, I got a call from my boss and I'm going to get a raise. We've been needing that. Well, then someone's been praying for that too. Yeah. You know, that happened because God moved in that situation in response to someone's faith and prayer. So, when you see God move, you can know it's not random. It's not just him trying to be hard to please. It's not him playing tricks. It's not him being unfair. No, he moves by his will, but he said he moves in his will in accordance with people who claim a promise. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, maybe we should wrap up today with just some promises. What are some promises that someone can grab a hold of for their life? And we're just going to pick three today. There are so many others you could claim from Scripture.
And please, go find them.
yeah. And if you don't know where to look, you can even use ChatGPT.
Yep.
You can use Google.
Yeah.
Show me a list of the promises of God.
Yeah.
Boom.
Go as far to say, here's my situation. What are some promises from the Bible that I should be claiming?
There's a good use of ChatGPT. All right, here's one from the book of Acts that I've known people who have claimed this verse, and it has come to pass for them. Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household."
So good.
So in every home, there are individuals, well, not every home, but in the homes of believers, there are usually others potentially who are not saved. And I've known them to pick up this verse, the believer, and say, I am believing God's promise that he saved me. He's going to save my wife, my husband, my child, my whoever. They claim that verse. And I know God is drawn to the heart of those who hold a promise and that he answers them. Another verse that I just love, and even just this week have used it in multiple times with people. This is Isaiah 61:3. This is a promise from the Lord. He says he promises to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning or sorrow, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. We all have walked through times in our life where we were the ones who kind of burned our life down, and all that's left were some ashes. Mm-hmm. We made the mess, or maybe someone else made the mess, and there's just been ashes. For those moments, for those who come to the Lord, he says, I can bring beauty out of ashes, and I can bring joy where there's just sorrow. I can bring a garment of praise where you've carried a spirit of heaviness, a garment of mourning even. And there's a powerful verse to claim for that. Say, Lord, I'm trusting in you that you're going to bring beauty out of the ashes. You're going to bring joy out of all the destruction.
And that he will bring it to pass. I'm going to believe you in spite of the odds, in spite of the what I can see and what I understand.
Yeah, yes.
It's so good.
And you're going to actually raise up a new generation who will be called trees of righteousness.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Another one that just this week has come up multiple times in conversation. This is from Isaiah 54:17. It says this, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord." That's powerful. When you're under attack, when people are saying things against you, when the enemy is saying things against you, you can claim this promise. No weapon formed against me will prosper, says the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And every tongue that rises up in judgment, you will condemn, Lord. So what a great defense to claim when you're in the spot when people are attacking you and saying all kinds of evil against you, even falsely, when the enemy's coming against you. You claim verses like this, and I'm based on God's own word and his own history, he rushes in those moments to give comfort and peace and victory. So
One other line that I read from that book, he was explaining prayer, saying that praying is one of the weakest things that an individual can do, but it's the strongest weapon that you actually wield.
Wow.
Which is incredible to say, like, this is something where you are having to vocalize a prayer, a thing that's not yet come to pass and claim it as your own.
Yep.
believing that someone you can't see can hear and then will respond in a miraculous way.
Yeah.
That is one of the weakest, most humbling things you can do with the strongest possible outcome. Wow. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And it gives you a strong response because you can say, in complete humility, I brought this to God, but I'm going to rest on a promise that gives me hope and stability even before it has come to pass.
Yeah.
Whew.
And we're seeing that happen here at Vertical.
Exactly. Time and time again. So, these are God's promises to us. So does he work randomly? No. Does he work sovereignly? Yes. And does he use our prayer and faith at the same time in his movement? Absolutely.
Yes.
So take confidence in that. Take hope in that. And take great faith in that. And keep lifting him up and living him out.